In April 1995, breakfast radio in the UK was about to be turned on its head.
Chris Evans is a working-class lad from Warrington.
He will need to be managed.
And it would never be quite the same again.
The disc jockey Chris Evans,
saviour of Radio 1.
Here we go.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show was about to launch on BBC Radio 1, and I was part of it.
He just came on with this optimism and energy and zest. Don't worry, I'm here now, it's going to be fine.
Is there any more to go? Have we got anything else to entertain you with? Of course!
That's the story,
I'm John Revel, also known as Johnny Boy, and along with Holly Hotlips and Dan the Sound Man, we were the team behind one of the most talked about radio shows ever. For the first time in 25 years, the three of us have got together again to share the stories and memories of what really went on when the mics went off.
Wonderful music, a talented jock, Monday to Friday from 6:30 to 9 o'clock.
This is Breaking Breakfast.
So you and Lisa, your current wife, so you got married on through the show, really, didn't you? So the newspapers say, but actually we know it's not quite. I think we all kind of played a bit of a character of ourselves, didn't we, on air? Do you know what I mean? It wasn't, I know, yeah. We talked about our lives and we talked about our boyfriends and and our girlfriends and, my goodness, our children and our wives. But when it came to you and Lisa, that just... I can't even remember the seed of how it started.
Well,
can
I think
you?
We were short on material one day. And Chris said,
I know. Ben, marry Lisa.
So Lisa was...
That'll give us 2 hours.
Lisa's a very famous TV producer that obviously Chris knew, and she was your girlfriend.
So the me and Lisa thing was a result of that, I think, was knowing that this is going to be a really good bit on the air and I'm happy to go with it because, you know, within reason, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to end up getting married for 25 years. No. I can see you looking at me, John. I can see
anything.
You looking at me. So that was definitely part of that, as you rightly say, is the understanding that we should do this because it's going to be funny and it's going to be brilliant and it's going to make people talk around the water cooler.
And also, I think, because we knew each other so well,
yeah.
Because we did hang out with each other, not just on the radio show, but for the rest of the day,
yeah,
and the night,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. And also, Lisa and I had a very close relationship with Chris,
exactly,
at the time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We were all in each other's pockets. So there was a lot of stuff that the people on listening to the show just didn't know was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about the actual on-air scenario. I don't know when it kicked off, but it was probably the Monday it started. I think Chris just probably had a notion to start that conversation with me. I mean, you know, who knows? And it just, you know, this is great. We're going to get 5 days of this stuff. And how we managed to time it in, I probably also subconsciously was thinking, got to wrap this up on the Friday because we can't go over the weekend and carry this on. It's not a bit.
Exactly.
We need to do something else next Monday, you know.
Your professionalism.
So you know,
he then... to marry Lisa.
Yeah, so it became, and I need to listen back to the tapes, but he got Andy Coulson involved, the infamous Andy Coulson, who was the then editor of the Bizarre column in The Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll cover the wedding. We'll come down with snappers. It'll be brilliant. You should marry, you know. Evans is like, I'll pay for it. I'll give you £100,000. He didn't, ladies and gentlemen. He did not give me £100,000.
I remember phoning Hello Magazine to try and get celebrities. Which celebrities are going to be at Dan and Lisa's wedding? I think this was even before you proposed.
Who did you have in mind?
This was just on the show. I don't know.
You were booking people. I hadn't even proposed. Proposed.
I was thinking, who's going to go to your wedding?
Buckingham Palace.
Chris
again,
will definitely be there. But you didn't propose on air, did you?
So what happened on the Friday was it was getting really, really tense and heavy and everything, you know. So on the Friday, it was all like, come on, you got to do it, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, how are we going to pay this off? Lisa, she was working on The Big Breakfast again by this point as the exec producer. So she's in the car going to work at that time in the morning, listening to these shows. So I ran out of the studio and phoned her. And I said, you're hearing this, aren't you? You're listening to this, aren't you? She went, yes. I said, what are we going to do? Because I was thinking, what are we going to do, you know? And
I suppose it was 50-50, really, wasn't it?
It was back then. So unromantic, you know. So I was like, what are we going to do? And I kind of see it was kind of, oh, I guess we should then, shouldn't we, sort of thing. I think Lisa, bless her, also knows how to do a good TV show, knows how to do a good radio. She's a TV producer. And she went, you know, fuck it, go on, go and tell him yes or something. I don't know what the actual conversation was, you know. So I put the phone down and came back in, and he and you were all in there like,
yeah.
So all looking, so?
My fade is up.
It's a yes or something like that on the air. I'm thinking, play the whatever it was. And what I did was I went up to Hatton Garden straight after the show to try and get an engagement ring, and went to this friend of a friend, went in there. I said, I need an engagement ring. And I need one in the next hour or two. And he's like, oh my God. So he got out all these rings that he had, and I looked through them, and they had a really lovely solitaire, which is all I wanted, a little solitaire diamond. Didn't want anything too flouncy. I looked
expensive.
And I looked at it. Thank you, John. But you're right. And it was, and I looked and I thought, would you think that'll fit? I don't know. It looks about the right size. Da 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 da. I bought this ring off this guy, and then that night we went back. I was at Tier 5 Friday with Lisa, and it went perfect. It fitted on perfect. Yeah, she was that. And it was lovely, and we were both in tears, and it was all very lovely.
And you're still married.
One of the things that we used to do was your message to the nation, where you would go out into the street with a megaphone, deliver John's message to the nation, and I'd have to come out with you with a microphone. So that we could get the audio of you delivering this message to the nation, which was generally to one other person and a
dog. No, what happened was the first time we did it, because we said, right, you know, I'm going to do this thing, John's
this
message
to the nation.
This
was like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Why did we think you should be giving a message to the nation?
I have no idea, like all of these things. So I then cobbled something together. So we go out there. I've got this megaphone. Dan's there with a microphone. Mm. And quite a few people turned up. Quite a few listeners turned up.
Yeah.
See? And we're there and I'm going, people of Great Britain. I'd always started like that. Right? People of Britain. Nonsense like that.
You could have been a politician.
And spout all this nonsense. And hey, and we, Dan and I trundled back in and waved goodbye to
what
all the listeners.
What did you say though?
I can't even remember. It would just be anything, wouldn't it? There would be some thread that I would, but I can't even, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so week two, we go out there again. People of Britain, and there's like three people turn up, and we're doing this for weeks and weeks, weren't we? And after a while, I said to Dan, sod this for a game
of
soldiers.
I think it was Simon Mayo was the only person that used to see you doing it, because he'd be walking past Simon to go to his show.
With his coffee you know.
What are you doing, John? Yeah. Don't worry, Simon, carry on.
But this was the thing, wasn't it? Because on that radio show, we did do things real. So if said, John, you're going outside.
He was a stickler for that. So after a few weeks, Dan and I go, sod this for a game of soldiers. We'll do it. We'll lean out the window. He won't know because he's in the studio with Holly. So we go into...
When he fades the mics up, he's going to hear street noise because I've got the mic held out of a window.
So we go into this big office and I'm hanging out of one window with this megaphone, and Dan's about 5 desks down hanging out another window, and I'm going, people of Britain! And we got away with that for about 3 weeks, didn't we? And then I'm midway through this speech, people of Britain, blah, 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 and suddenly the door to this office flies open and Evo's standing there and goes, what the fuck are you two doing? I'm like, well, it's a bit cold out there, Chris, but nobody's out there.
Nobody can tell, Chris.
Nobody's there. It's the magic of radio. That's not the point, is it? You know, we're telling people you're outside and you're not, are you? You're hanging out of a window.
So
and Dan, you should know better. You're the producer of this show. You should be down there. We're telling people John's outside the building with a megaphone. I said, well, I'm outside the building. Yes, but you're hanging out a fucking window. You're not out the building, are you?
Do you remember that Ginger Grand Prix we did? I mean, I love my motor racing, but with that whole Ginger Grand Prix, I think that stemmed from us saying on air,
we should do a Ginger Grand Prix.
Yeah.
That's what we should have, Ginger Grand Prix.
And he said to me, what's your favourite car, Holly? Yeah. And I said, a Ferrari Dino. I love Ferrari Dinos. And he went, I know someone who's got a Ferrari Dino. Phoned him live on the show and said, we're doing a Ginger Grand Prix. We're going to do a race. Let's do a race around London. And all this conversation was going on live on the show, and people were phoning in, messaging in at the same time, so then it builds and builds and builds.
So, once again, just tell the country, for people who've just tuned in, what you're doing tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing tomorrow morning?
I'm driving the pace car.
Tina will be driving the pace car. We're going to do one tour of the European Grand Prix circuit that we designed yesterday on this show. Holly went round it yesterday on her scooter, and she reckons it's 3.9 miles long?
4.6.
4.6.
Right. It's either miles or kilometres.
But that could be kilometres, because you're not sure how your bike works. Yeah. All right, then.
You were riding motorbikes, Dan, weren't you?
Yeah, my Ducati Monster. So, I'm doing it on that.
So you did it on a motorbike.
So I phoned Aston Martin's press office.
Of course, you did.
This is what we're doing. Can I have an Aston? I can't remember. It was a DB8 or DB7, whatever it was. So I get this. Suddenly, they deliver to my house £100,000 worth of Aston Martin, which I'm swanning around in.
Amazing.
And I'll look after it.
Holly Hotloop's Ferrari F40 cost. Ooh, who knows? Engine capacity 2,936 cc. Holly, we really have got Holly a Ferrari. This is unbelievable. Dan, the sound man, Ducati Monster motorcycle, his own. Don't care if he crashes, he'll have to pay for it. Engine capacity 600cc, air cool, little twin.
We planned it for a really early morning pre the show,
because we thought it would be quiet. There'll be nobody there.
That's right.
We were going to start on the Mall, just outside Buckingham Palace. There'll be nobody there. It'll be nice and quiet, because we're saying this on the air. There'll be nobody there. We're going to start on the Mall outside Buckingham Palace. It'll be lovely and quiet at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was in the summer, so it was bright. We were all on different things, weren't we? I think Jamie was on a bike or something like that. And then Kelly, who was our PR girl from Freud's, she was on roller skates.
Justin was on a bike, was he?
Yeah.
Or Justin
a scooter and a bike. Yeah.
So we also,
Chris was in his Bentley.
Chris was in his Bentley, and also we got a load of mini disc recorders. I think around that time, mini disc was the format, and we gave everybody one to record themselves as they were in their cars or on their, you know, and you could hear Jamie huffing and puffing, Justin huffing and puffing.
We had a starting grid on the Mall that the TFI Friday guys had sorted out. It was the first time. And I think the last time anyone has ever been allowed
illegal.
To put any grid on the
There were no... I couldn't believe when we get
the
there.
House.
But hold on, because when I said nobody would be there, of course, there were. There were hundreds of listeners in their cars wanting to race us up the Mall.
On motorbikes,
everything. And I remember when we start this thing, I'm going up the Mall in this £100,000 Aston Martin or whatever it was, and there's some bloke beside me in a little Fiat Punto going, come on! Come on, he's looking at him. I'm shitting myself. I'm thinking, fucking hell, if he runs into this, you know, it's going to be a nightmare.
It was carnage.
I remember, I won the race,
but then on a motorbike, you know, it was probably going to happen.
And we tied in a bit with TFI Friday, hadn't we?
They filmed it.
And then we all had little mics. And so as soon as it finished, we all sort of, I don't know, drove into Radio 1. Yeah. I mean, I was like 24 or something. I was so young
I had to go back to Radio 1 with all the mini discs and cut something together as quickly as possible, so that literally about halfway through the show, you know, near the end of the show, we go, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Ginger Grand Prix, and we threw together something from all this audio that was
a little package.
I mean, it was all over the place because none of us had any direction as to what we were meant to be doing, but you know, everybody had an idea of going, I'm on the Mall or whatever. I wonder where that audio is. It'd be great to hear it.
That was the first and probably last ever London European Grand Prix that we had at 4:45 this week on Wednesday morning with me and a few friends.
So back in the mid-90s when we started this show, we would often give out our address, wouldn't we, for the radio? Because it wasn't like nowadays when you'd say, just text us or...
People weren't texting. No. I think we had a bit of email, but not many people were using it.
So we always gave out our address, which was BBC Radio 1, Egton House, London, W1N, 4DJ, which was very apt, wasn't it?
Well, no, I think they had that... done specially.
Did they?
The 4DJ, yes. Yes, the post office gave them that specially. Yeah.
All these years later, I was like, oh, really?
Oh, that was so handy, good. Wasn't it?
Ah, see, you spoil it for me.
Numbers, they had all the numbers that were... Yeah. Yeah.
So and one at TV day... Centre, it's 4TV over there.
No, it's not.
No, I know it now.
Stop it. Anyway, so Dan, we would always give out the address, and a lot of the time I would do that on air and just give out the address. But then you came up with some really random, and again, just on air, a random song about the postcode.
Chris employed me because I used to do impressions and stupid voices when we were on GLR. That was one of the reasons he liked me hanging around with him, I think. There was something we'd called Funny Voice Bloke. Brilliant. Yeah. What a brilliant name for it. And all it was I used to do this thing where it was like a Stanley Unwin. Stanley Unwin was this guy back in the 70s who used to do this strange speech where he would just mangle what he was saying. But he'd do like a TED talk, but it would be on, you know, on film. And he'd be trying to explain something very, very complex, but he'd mangle all the words.
What I would like to do here is to advise the general public on the things to look for when they go to this year's In the Motor Show, whether it be Earl's Caucus or the Olympiad, where you pay your money, earn tile, clibbery, clibbery, and in you go and work Huffalo down the aisles. Now...
Me and Chris loved that, I think. And so I used to do this Funny Voice Bloke. And then Funny Voice Bloke started appearing on the show. At some point, Chris said to me, do the address. Because we said it so many times.
Yes, exactly.
You get bored of saying it. Yeah. They all know it now. They know it. So you start thinking, well, there must be something we can do to subvert this. So very quickly, he was like, just do something with the address that's different. Anything. That must have been the notion. So I started doing the address. And it would be about right at the start. So I'd start saying, you know, Chris Evans breakfast show, and then it would, by the time it got to 4DJ, and it was just this ramble. Because it almost became sing-songy, John came in one day and he went, I've got a thing for the 4DJ song, Dan. I've heard this piece of music. Chris, play this. And it was Herb Alpert, Taste of Honey.
Yeah.
Yes.
John said, I remember John saying, you say it here, right? Da da da, da da da, it fits you and it fits perfectly. 40J, 40J, 40J. It's like, oh, it does, isn't it? So that literally within 30 seconds, we're on the air, you know, because like, this is brilliant, it's brilliant. Quick, play it, Dan, you do that. And within minutes, it was the way 40J song was going to go. So then the trick was back timing it, because of course Chris would go, do the address, Funny Voice Bloke, and I go, Brandy on DJ, and as I was saying it, he playing boom 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 ba 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 ba. So I'm having to listen like Fluff with his countdown.
Yes.
Listen, Brandy DJ, Buddy J, and off it would go, you know, because I'd be like waiting for this. All off the cliff of the song's going.
The crescendo, here it comes.
And if you want to write in for a hot list, it's this address.
Hey, baby, sorry, Elliot Morley, London, Jubilee, one bed, Bolly J. 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 Bolly
Thank you.
No, and to this day, I have to say, to this day, and I, since, you know, all these years, I've done some interesting things with my life, I hope. Every bastard comes up to me and says to me, the best thing I ever, you know, you are the 4DJ song. I've got blokes around here that I know, round my way now, you know, we're all in our 50s. The 4DJ song, for some reason, it was absolutely on the money, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. But then, of course,
it makes
we,
me cry every time.
For whatever reason, in the madness, we thought we should release it as a single.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, of course.
So we were talking about it and Chris goes, yeah, it's a brilliant idea. Yeah, sort it out. So we get onto one of the record label and there was a bloke at this label called Simon Cowell.
That's right,
he?
Yeah.
And
marketing
Simon
guy.
Cowell, he was marketing, and it was the Simon Cowell, but he wasn't nowhere near as famous. He wasn't famous at all. So I set up this meeting and he comes in the afternoon to see us, you know, and you know what he's exactly how you see him on the telly. He was then, you know, that's what he's like. So we sit down and we're just having a chat. And I say, oh, Simon, yeah, this is Dan. And so I said, we've got this thing where Dan sings the postcode to the breakfast show. And you could just see him looking at it, just like it was a bit like on Britain's Got Talent. And he's looking at us thinking, what?
You just mad. Brought
so
me
So I said,
in.
So, and what we'd do, Dan sings it to Herb Albert's, you know, say something. And so what we'd do, let's play it to you. We'll play it to you. And so I said, Dan, play it in for us. So Dan plays it. Well, he starts. And Simon Kelv's listening to this.
Yeah.
And you can see him thinking, what the fuck am I doing here and talking to these two idiots? And we play it through. We go, what do you think? What do you think? Because we think this would be a great single. And he's humming an R and I said, but hold on, we've got the B-side as well, haven't we? We've got a B-side because we did Stingray.
Oh, we did Stingray.
Yeah, Stingray.
Charlie Chuckles,
who will appear at some point in this podcast series. Charlie Chuckles, very funny northern comedian, another one of Dan's great characters.
But I remember Simon Cowell staring at us and me once I'd done this delivered this thing at him staring at us like we were both barking mad and it wasn't until many years later when you know X Factor and that appeared on the telly and he does it to everybody wasn't that bad he's like that with everyone, he just stares at everybody like
I think that's
all
probably
mad.
Where he got it from that's where he got his shtick
he's
from
he's having flashbacks during the X Factor of that 4DJ meeting in 1995
but the B-side that was the kicker for me so but not only that Simon can see you like this we've got a B-side because that's when I had a B-side
and we had a whole concept for the video except for the video with chandeliers. I can remember we were talking to him about it. We went, oh, yeah, it's going to be great, this. Yeah. We could see it all, and we could see Christmas number one. We could see it.
Needless to say, he didn't pick up on
never
it.
Never happened.
No. Yeah, he's like the guy that turned down the Beatles.
Then it keeps on snowballing. Evo says, you got to do it on TFI Friday. So then he gets Jules Holland and his big band on.
Yes!
He says, right, tonight on TFI Friday, Dan will do the 4DJ song live, right? And I go down there for the rehearsals, and it's Jules's big band. All right, Jules, you know, because I know Jules from Toothbrush and all that. And I'm in a bib and tucker. I'm in black tie, and they've got the sweeping camera. Stephen Stewart directed and invented the sweeping camera shot, you know, on those shows.
Brilliant.
He's doing the cameras, and I'm there on the stage, and it's dum 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 ba da ba ba da ba.
Bully Jay, Bully Jay,
Bully Jay, Bully Jay.
And I can remember, I was really nervous because it was the most ridiculous. And also I was just thinking, at that age, I can't remember how old I would have been, late 20s, early 30s?
Yeah.
I still wanted to try and appear cool, you know, I didn't want to look like a complete numpty. Now I wouldn't give a stuff, but it was like, so I think I didn't really go for it. And I remember Chris saying to me afterwards, you know, didn't go for it.
Didn't
give
it 100%.
I don't know, but, you know, watching it back, that it's somewhere. I remember the sweeping camera and I'm like, 4DJ, 4DJ, Jules is on the piano, you know. And I probably just stood there thinking, this is just another ridiculous moment in my career that's funny beyond belief. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
Next time on Breaking Breakfast.
So me and Chris are now sat with George Michael and he's putting on demos of stuff he's been working on and asking our opinion on it.
Oh my gosh, I'm actually going to meet Prince.
I am Charlie Chuckles.
If you don't know Mick Hucknall, he can be a bit surly and a bit miserable.
I'm the Funny Bush bloke and this is a Breakily Breakfast. Usually hashtag Breakily Breakfast all one word to talk about the other socials. Leave us a review, more than a rating, and it's just subscribing whenever you get your podcast. Mr. Recorby, the Comedy Studios, and the silly producer, Mr. Nick Goodman. Blackity Breakfast is a Bounce production.